Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, the book of Luke. And please keep all these friends in prayer that we mentioned. And do thank the Lord. And I want you to pray for Brad and April. And I tell you, you go through a lot of what ifs and, you know, whatever, you know, after it's all with. And so it's, you've ever been there. But anyway, in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8, "And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly they were with the angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Let's bow together for prayer. Father, I want to thank you for the wonderful singing this morning of the choir and the congregation. Brother Brian, our Father, for Brad and Sister Juanita, and Lord, for blessing us this morning. Thank you, our Father, for allowing us to be here. And our Father, I've seen on the face of your people and, Lord, sensed the presence of God here. And, Lord, the joy that's in hearts this morning, because they not only know about all the trimmings, but they know the substance of Christmas. They know the Savior. They've been born again by the grace of God. But, Lord, if there's a person in the building, in the radio audience or in the internet audience that's not saved, I pray, God, they'd get saved today. They know the real joy of Christmas. And God, I pray for those of us who are saved. God, help us to be faithful to do those things that you'd have us to do and to share this good news of the gospel. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, this week, I was reading something that just spoke to my heart, blessed me. I hope it'll bless you. I want you to look at one little phrase here in John, in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 14. Look what it says. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I'm interested in those first few verses there, the first few words. Glory to God in the highest. The angel that came, I believe it's Gabriel. If you go back to chapter 1, you'll see where he came to Zacharias. And he talked about John the Baptist. And if you go a little further, you'll find out where he came to Mary and told her she was going to be the vessel through which the Savior would come. I believe this is the same angel here. I didn't call him by name here, but I believe it's Gabriel, that angel that came with a wonderful message of Christmas and the Savior coming. And then having proclaimed that message, it says, and there was with him a great multitude of heavenly hosts. Now, that phrase multitude means almost an innumerable count. You look up at the stars and you see the beautiful stars and the moon and everything at night. And the more you look, the more you see. And really what that says is this, the whole sky, it wasn't one or two or three angels. I mean, it was just like it from horizon to horizon. I mean, angels praising God, saying, praising God and say, glory to God in the highest. Now, I'm going to tell you that. I wasn't even there and it gave me a Holy Ghost bump right then. I hope you felt something. You just imagine that out in the middle of the night and on that starlit night, and yet the angels come and they fill up the sky and they say, glory to God in the highest. Now, I want us to think about that phrase for just a few minutes this morning. And when it says glory to God in the highest, that does not speak about the geographical location of our Lord. You know, we talked one time before about the three heavens right around the atmosphere of the church, and then the celestial heavens, the stars and all that. And then beyond that's the third heaven, and that's where the throne of God's at. And he is high above everything else. But it's not talking about that so far as his geographical location. It has to do with, it is a comparative term. Glory to God in the highest. That means his glory is above anything in anybody. His glory in this passage of scripture, his glory is to be above all false gods. It's to be above all earthly rulers. His glory is beyond imagination. As a matter of fact, how many of you know Buzz Lightyear? Raise your hand. All you mamas and grandmas, you know, don't be ashamed of that. Ain't nothing wrong with Buzz. He has this little phrase, to infinity and beyond. infinity and beyond. Of course, you understand that infinity means measureless and no end to it. And if you go beyond something that's measureless and no end to it, you don't have anything. But he said to infinity and beyond. And that little phrase, highest, boy, I got to looking at that word. It means higher than highest. It means the higher than the highest. It means his glory and his adoration and his praise ought to be higher, and it is higher than anything above anything. Thank God for that. Glory to God in the high. Now, these angels know something. They don't understand the concept of salvation, but they know the Savior's come, and they know some of the things. They were historical witnesses to a lot of God's work in bringing this to pass. And they said, this is the crowning achievement of God at this particular point in time. That is the Emmanuel, God coming in flesh. Glory to God in the highest. I'm telling you, they're proclaiming that this is the highest of the high of God's creation, of what God's done, of anything God's done. And thank God for that. It's the highest of, first of all, I'd suggest to you this morning that this event, this happening, the birth of this Savior, God incarnate in human flesh, was a greater accomplishment than all of creation. He spoke everything into existence. And he spoke the world into existence and created everything, formed man out of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils. And the angels saw all that. They witnessed all that. But they said, the birth of this baby, this is God's glory above anything else. I mean, it's the highest of the high to this point in time. It's the highest of the high. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, listen, they watched creation. They saw when the flowers said, boop, right out of the ground. There they were. He watched when out of nothingness, all of a sudden, there's a giraffe and there's a hippopotamus and all that. They saw when he spoke it into existence. They saw him when he spoke stars into existence and all everything around here. They saw him when he divided the firmament from above and that which is below the waters into a heap and so on. They saw all of that. And they said, this is the greatest thing we've ever seen that God's ever done since we've been created. It's the greatest thing, the greatest story ever told, the highest of the high. It's higher than creation. It's higher than any of his other miraculous works. Oh, they saw him when he opened up the Red Sea. They saw that. They saw it when it stood in a heap. And he saw, amazingly, that river flowing through there. And it says that the children of Israel went across on dry ground. That's amazing. And then after they were out, he released the water and it came back over Pharaoh and his armies. Oh, but this is greater than all that. I mean, God, this is demonstrating, and God deserves greater glory in the birth of this Savior than anything that's ever happened in a miraculous manner. Oh, it's greater. It's greater than anything. It's greater than when he preserved Daniel in the lion's den. It's greater than when he kept the children in the fire furnace. It's greater than when he rained down manna from heaven. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened on the face of the earth. God has clothed himself in human flesh and come to dwell among us. Emmanuel is here. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened. Woo! Hallelujah. Highest of high. Oh, listen. Glory to God in the highest. This is the most awesome thing we've ever seen. Higher than creation. Higher than any miraculous work. It's higher than any divine provision. Oh, they watched him as he rained down manna out of heaven. Angel's food. Oh, listen, what an amazing thing. I'm talking about 3.5 million Jews. And he rained down manna 6 days a week out of heaven. And when they get up, nothing for them all to eat, have plenty before. On that sixth day, there was enough for them to gather up enough for the next day's provision. And they said, oh, this divine, listen, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. It's greater than any divine provision that he's ever given. And they saw him when he spoke to Moses. And Moses, if you'll strike that rock right there, I'm talking about a rock, oh, just a dry old rock laying out there in the desert. He said, you take that rod and you smite that rock and there'll be water coming out. I was reading in Psalms the other day. It says there were streams and rivers that flowed out of that rock. And it watered them. It fed them. It nourished them. They bathed in it. They bathed their clothes in it. And it was river, came out of a rock. And they said, oh, that was something. But this is the greatest things ever happened. Glory to God in the highest. There's never been a provision like this provision. There's never been a miracle like this miracle. God incarnate in human flesh, in a human body. This is the highest of all of God's miraculous things He's ever done. This is the greatest of all provision that God's ever provided. It is astounding. It is amazing. And He said, glory to God in the highest. They've given God glory. I was looking at Webster's dictionary, that old dictionary about that, and it said this in about glory. It has to do with this idea of being clear. It has to do with the idea of it being opened up without any hindrances. It has to do with bright and shiny. That's kind of what the root word means. But it has to do with God's glory. And it's, His glory is so awesome, it's blinding to the human eye. If you were to get into it and get into the presence of the unfiltered glory of God, you couldn't even stand it. You couldn't stand it. And listen, His glory is such, it is absolutely awesome, awesome. And He said, we are to give Him, exalt Him. It is praise and it to be ascribed with adoration. Glory to God. This is the highest praise. This is the greatest thing God's ever done. That is, that this day, the birth of Christ, the Emmanuel, this is the greatest day in all of history, the greatest time. I read a statement some time ago that said this, any glory given to man leaves not enough glory for God. If man gets any of the glory, it's not enough glory for God. God gets all of the glory. I want to read to you, if you want to turn back to Psalm 105 real quick, let me show you something in this passage of Scripture. David is talking something about the glory of God, and he says in Psalms 105 in verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Glory in His name. You and I are to give God highest glory. The angels described it. They said, glory to God in the highest. And you and I are to give God glory in all things. Glory to God in the highest. We give Him all that glory. In Isaiah 42 and verse 8, He said this, He would not share His glory with another. He gets all the glory. Why is it that these angelic beings, having seen all of creation, having seen all the miracles of God, having seen all of God's divine provision in the past, said, this is the highest. Glory to God in the highest. He gets higher glory from that. I think, number one, He gets the highest glory because of His orchestration of this event. How He brought it all to pass. They used to in old-timey movies, if they were going to put out a teaser and try to get you to go, they'd say 3 years in the making, cast of thousands, all that. They want you to understand that this is just not your average film. Boy, they've been 3 years making this thing, got thousands of people involved in it, all those things. They want you to understand that this event that you're fixing to go pay a dollar and a half to go see, or now $7, $8 or whatever, but that you're going to go see is worth your money because of all the things that have gone on ahead of time. Glory to God in the highest, because the angels understood what it took for that day to come to pass. He understood that God didn't just begin this 9 months ago. That God had orchestrated this not just 100 years before that. Not even 4,000 years before that at creation. In the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, He gave the prophecy of the Savior coming. And He said the seed of the woman will bruise the head of that serpent. That's a prophecy of Christ. But it goes back further than that. If you go back in the Bible, if you look, He said that God loved us with an everlasting love, and that God, in God's mind and heart, Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. He was planning this day for His Son to be incarnated in human flesh before the world was ever fashioned. Glory to God in the highest because of His orchestration. Glory to God in the highest because of his orchestration of how he brought about the lineage of Christ. Boy, you look and you read about the lineage of Joseph, the earthly father, as he talked about that and relating him to the line of David and Solomon and all of those and how God orchestrated all of his lineage. Now there's a big deal that you can go, you know, they used to go ancestry.com. Now you can do your DNA. And you could, I don't know how you do that. I'm sure it's not free, but you do that. They go back and they'll tell you what you are. And they show these people on there and they say, well, I thought I was this and I thought I was that. Now I'm only a third this and a third that and a fourth of that. But I'm going to just tell you, when you think about God's orchestration of bringing the Lord Jesus Christ out of all the millions of people who ever lived and all the tribes of Israel, just you consider Israel, that how that God orchestrated everything to where Jesus Christ would be born into that lineage and that line. You think about all the little virgin girls across Israel and how that God orchestrated and picked Mary for that. You think about how that God, at the time of the birth, he had those shepherds out on the field that night. They were there that night. And think about how that all the occurrences in the world, that is the look of the star, how that God strategically placed that star and brought those wise men at a later date to see the child. Oh, listen, they said this is amazing, how that God has orchestrated every bit of that. And let's think about all of the lineage of Christ. And all the, and how that he did. Think about this fact. The Bible said that they come to the city of Bethlehem. It's prophesied he'd be born in Bethlehem. He'd be born there because of God's divine plan. Glory to God. And the fact that he had planned that ahead of time. Now, the problem was they wasn't from Bethlehem. They were from another place. They were Nazareth. But how did they end up there? Well, the Bible says that there was a decree that from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, all the Roman world should be taxed. And it said that tax was first made when Cyrenius was governor. And so what happened is that God moved in just such a way to orchestrate it to where Joseph and Mary had to come to Bethlehem and had to be there for the baby to be born to fulfill Bible prophecy. And these angels are looking at that, and they you know what they said? We love it when a plan comes together. I mean, well, all these years we've been watching it and how in the world is going to happen because there's all kind of problems. There's murder and there's wars and there is the removal of all of Israel out of their land by the Assyrians and Babylonians. And how's it going to work? How's he going to bring it all together? And there he was, born right on time, right in the right place to the right parents. And my dear friend, for the glory of God. And the angel said, glory to God in the highest because of his orchestration of this. Nobody else could do that. No, only God could have orchestrated all of that and brought it all together. But glory to God in the highest, I believe the angel said, glory to God in the highest because of his divine investment in this thing. I don't believe it took all of the wisdom of God. I don't think it took all of the power of God. Because his wisdom is inexhaustible. His power is endless. But it took great power. It took great wisdom for God to orchestrate this. Because you see, he's doing something for the benefit of all mankind. He said this, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill to men. It took God's great wisdom, all his investment in wisdom, his investment in power. He moved kings and nations and everything to bring this day to pass. Glory to God in the highest, but not only the great investment of his wisdom and his power, but of his love. Because you see, before the shepherds got there, and before the wise men came, and before Mary ever knew him, and before Joseph ever saw him, the angels already knew him. They knew him. They knew him through all the Old Testament. They knew him in type when Abraham offered his son Isaac, and there was a ram caught in the thicket. He knew him. Those angels knew him. And they knew him. And they watched him. In John chapter 1, it says that all things were made by him and not anything was made that was not made by him. They watched the Son of God as he created the world. They knew him. They saw him before there was a world. They saw him. And like it says in the book of Psalms, he was daily my delight. God the Father said that in eternity past, when there was just God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ was the delight of the Father. And now they watch him as his Son leaves glory, lays aside his royal robes, and descends into the womb of a Virgin Mary and clothed in human flesh. They knew him when prophesied in the book of Isaiah. He said, I'm a worm and no man. They knew he was referring to the crimson worm, a worm that those people in that culture would take, and they'd crush that worm. And when that worm was crushed, there'd be a scarlet red dye to come out of his body. And they'd dye their garments with that. And they knew that Savior was the one that they watched speak the world into existence. And they knew how God the Father loved him. And they knew the investment of the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And they said, glory to God in the highest because of his investment in this day. Oh, listen, it's a wonderful thing. I didn't even mention about our grandbaby being born the other night because most of you know about it on Facebook and Brother Tim wins tonight. But we got a beautiful little girl grandbaby. And that was a happy, happy day. Thank the Lord for that. But those angels knew Jesus before he was ever in that womb. They knew him before he was ever on that straw. And they were baffled about that. Book of Hebrews said they desire to look into it. They can't comprehend it. Such love. They said, glory to God in the highest because of his investment in this day. He's given to that mom and dad and to the world and to lost sinners his only darling son. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, not only because of his orchestration of that day and not only because of his investment in that day, but glory to God in the highest because of the purpose of that day. Again, the angels, all they can do is just give God glory. They can't really comprehend. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, he says this. The angel tells Joseph, you're to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Glory to God in the highest because they understood and they see it, the reason for his coming. Glory to God in the highest because of the reason of this day. Nobody knows what an infant when it's born will ever become. They don't know if he'll become a doctor or lawyer or she'll become a great teacher or a great doctor or whatever. Nobody knows what a child's going to be when they grow up. But these angels, having known God's purpose and plan, knew the purpose of this child's birth. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. They understood the meaning of that day, and that is that he came to die. He's a great teacher, but he did not come to teach. He was a great healer, but he did not come to heal. He performed miracles, but he did not come to be a miracle worker. He provided supernaturally to feed 5,000 and 4,000, but he did not come primarily to feed people. Came to give his life a ransom and to die. Glory to God in the highest. They understand a little bit about the significance of that day. He came to save that which is lost for all eternity. What was going to happen through the life of this child would change people for eternity, not just in time. Thank God it changes in time. People become clean. They become pure, washed in the blood. They have a joy unspeakable. They have a peace of God that passes all understanding. And that's a wonderful thing. But they'll live forever in a place called heaven because of God and what He did that day in giving His only begotten Son that we might have everlasting life. Glory to God in the highest because of His orchestration of this event, because of His investment in this event, and glory to God because of the purpose of this event. He came. Notice what it says again in your text, if you will, please. And suddenly, verse 13, and suddenly there were with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Praising God. My dear friend, it's imperative that you and I spend our time in this world and in the next world. For all eternity, we will be praising Him for what He has done, praising Him and giving God glory. Glory to God in the highest. This is the greatest event that had ever happened to that time. And it was astounding. Glory to God in the highest. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be those shepherds, to see that awesome sight, to be those wise men who saw that star that strangely drew them to the place where the young child was in the house? Can you imagine what it was like when they first saw Him? And it was just not the physical aspect of it. There was a spiritual thing that took place. The wise men, it says, when they came to where He was, they knelt, they presented Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They bowed and worshiped Him, a little baby. They understood it. Glory to God in the highest. I'm sure glad that He was able to do all this. And there's a reason He did that. The Bible said, scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended, that means God showed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Glory to God in the highest. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? Thank God for this day. Thank God for this time of the year that we remember the birth of our Savior. And to this point in history, in the estimation of the angels, this is the greatest. God deserves greater honor, greater praise, greater adoration for this day than anything He's ever done. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Unspeakable means inexpressible. No way we can express it. My dear friend, like any gift that was given, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. All of God's orchestration, all of God's great investment in giving His Son, using all of His great wisdom and great power to bring it all to pass, in God's intended purpose, in sending His Son to die that you might have life, is of no avail unless you accept and receive that gift. Sadly, many like Israel, and in those in Israel, He came unto His own received Him not. They didn't accept the gift. They didn't receive the gift. The question is today, what will you do? If I could put it where I could understand it, you could understand it. It sure does look like God wants to save folk to go to all that trouble. And He's not going to do that and not save you if you'll accept His Son. I promise you, He wants to save you. He wants to change you. He wants to give you everlasting life. And then when He does, for all eternity, you'll get to say, glory to God in the highest. Friends in the internet audience, radio audience, and here in the building, don't miss the great joy of Christmas. Don't miss the greatest gift ever been given, and that is the gift of His dear Son. I'd invite you here in the building and in the media audience right now to receive that great gift. The Word of God is clear and plain, I believe, if you believe in your heart confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can accept that gift and receive that gift right now by simply calling on him and asking him to forgive you of your sin, turning from your sin and turn to the Savior. That's how he made it to where we could be saved. Will you do that right now? And those of us who are saved, our response ought to be to the birth of Jesus, just like those angels. We ought to praise God. It says praising God and saying, you and I ought to praise him. And then tell people. We ought to tell it. They announced it. You and I ought to praise him, but then we ought to tell it. God help us to do that. Will you stand with your heads bowed for just a moment? Heavenly Father, I believe with all of my heart the Holy Ghost of God has spoke to hearts. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this greatest of days in history to that point, the birth of our Savior. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill to men. We give you all the glory, all the praise. God, I pray now that your people in these days, preacher and everybody else, would praise you, but then we'd say, we'd tell others what you've done. God, help us. Give us boldness to speak the truth. And Lord, please don't let anybody in this building die and go to hell, not a boy, a girl, or man, or woman. I pray you draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, we'll not give a long invitation. But I invite you this morning, if you would like to, certainly come and thank him for that great gift, praising God and glory to God in the highest. If you want to praise him for that great gift, you don't have to come. I know you can do it right where you are. Maybe right where you are, you want to just raise your hand. I've watched you through the congregation while I was preaching. Many of you raised your hand and giving God glory. But if you're here this morning, you've never been saved, I sure would love to pray for you. I'd like to ask God to help you to make that step of faith. And if you're here and you say, preacher, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. I want to be saved. And would you please pray for me? Would you raise your hand across this building, men and women, boys and girls? God bless you. Anybody? Anybody else across the building? Amen. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. What a wonderful Savior we have. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill to men.